Oof, we need bigger font than these things. Pat Fon, bigger font. All right, we're ready. All right, good afternoon, everyone. This is Commissioner Brian Colquhoun meeting in the 12th floor of the Capitol today for a work session on three cases, case number PU10657, PU1155, and PU11557. Actually, today, we'll just see where the discussion goes to, but we've had a settlement agreement that's been filed, as well as we've had some previous direction to staff of the last work session. But before I say anything else, I would open it up to Commissioner Fetch. It's your portfolio if you have any opening remarks, and then I'd probably turn it over to the staff to see where they're headed.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. This, as you mentioned, we have actually three cases before us. Case numbers, you stated what they are. At the end of the last session we had regarding these cases, we were going to come up with an order, a proposed order in these cases. And in the meantime, there was like a two-minute difference in terms of the SADE advocacy staff proposed, thought it should be 57 minutes. And let me get my, a threshold of 57 minutes, and the company proposed 58.8 minutes. I guess it was 56.8 minutes that the advocacy staff proposed. So they were only apart 2 minutes, but that can mean a significant difference when it's all computed out. And as we left it, we actually started working up an order. And in the meantime, a settlement agreement was submitted. And the settlement agreement between advocacy staff and the company represents basically they agreed to a SADE excellence threshold of 57.0 minutes. And at the same time, there is there was also a change in the incentive outcome. I'm going to ask Pat Fon to address that. Pat, did you prepared actually a graph of what that would look like? Did you not?
Did you
pass those out?
I haven't passed those out.
Okay.
It's a picture of what the sliding scale for the financial incentive, a picture of what that does.
So the proposed the settlement agreement actually then there are two components to it, and you know the 57.0 minutes is only 0.2 of a minute difference in terms of what was originally proposed by advocacy staff. But the revenue, I'm going to ask Pat to explain what he is proposing in this graph here. So we basically, I didn't think it made sense to continue working on an order if the settlement agreement was acceptable to the commission. So if it is not acceptable, we can certainly continue working on that. Okay.
Okay, that certainly sounds reasonable.
Okay, so Pat, do you want to explain what you've graphed out here for us?
If you would just want to take a look at the graph that shows return on equity, which has three lines. It has three lines on it. One purple line, that's a horizontal line, represents the currently authorized return on equity. And the blue line represents an actual return on equity that the company might be earning. And the red line represents what represents the rate of return the company could earn if they met the SAIDI threshold, if they exceed the SAIDI threshold. So you can see that starting at the left side of the graph, if the company was earning 11% and they meet the SAIDI threshold, they could actually earn, you know, a little over 11% in terms of dollars.
Which goes above the 10.4 that was in the rate case.
Yeah, 10.45 is represented by the purple horizontal line.
Right.
So you can see that if they're above 10.45, if they're at 11%, you know, and they reach the SAIDI threshold, they could earn a little bit higher return. And you can see how that goes down as the company's rate of return goes down and actually reaches their authorized return. But if they meet the SAIDI level or exceed the SAIDI level, they could earn 10.5% return on equity. And then as the actual return on equity goes down, if they meet the SAIDI level, exceed the SAIDI level, they would be held at 10.5% return on equity all the way over, to the right there on the graph. And eventually you can see that they would drop down below their authorized return on equity the worse their earnings got, but exceed that SAIDI level. The other chart shows it in terms of dollars.
Tell me this, Pat. I think I understand that, but what would be the, I got to get it right here, what would be the Y part of this graph? Isn't that right? X is up and down?
There is no label on your
right.
X-axis.
Right.
Okay, so that's it then. So what would be on your X-axis then?
There wouldn't be a label.
The difference between the two lines?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Just look at the difference between the blue line and the red line. And that's the difference between the blue line and the red line shows what's exceeding the SAIDI level would do for the company in terms of rate of return or return on equity.
Okay.
And the other chart shows it in terms of dollars.
And it also shows if they didn't meet it too.
Correct.
If I may, basically what this says to me, this agreement, what it says to me is that the company is agreeing to meet a higher excellence threshold, and the CME credits part of it did not change. So basically those two items amount to the company, needing to see that it's basically an impetus for them to make sure that reliability is there. And I guess the reward for the company or what's given to them is that there's a greater incentive award, which, of course, is contingent on meeting that SAIDI threshold. I think it's a reasonable agreement, some thought to those CME credits, and I still really like the idea of those credits back to consumers who suffer four or more outages in a given year. I really do like that. It is something tangible for consumers. It's not something you want to strive to get because the whole idea is to beef up the reliability. But in case there is some problems and people experience four or more, it's something back to them, and I like that. So, basically, I like the agreement.
Okay. The cap, if you will, is capped at $1.5 million, right? So that part has been the bottom end of it, $250,000. What were your thoughts, Commissioner, about the timing of the refund, if you will? you know, because there this settlement
the CME
agreement,
credits,
this,
you mean?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I gave that a lot of thought too, and I know there was some discussion about, you know, where should that kick in, et cetera. You know, and should it kick in right at the time of a fourth incidence? I think that that might be, I can only imagine that would be an accounting nightmare for the company. And I don't really know if that's even, you know, I don't know how difficult that would be to track that. I think they'd have to track pretty much every outage, every customer. And, you know, I think it might also be confusing to customers if they get a credit after a fourth outage and then say if there's a fifth one in that time period and they get no further refund, I think it might actually be counterproductive at that point. So I think it, you know, because then people will be angry that they got it for four but not another one. I think it would be difficult to explain to people and become a negative thing. I think it's better the way the company proposes at the end to have it a credit at the end of a year period.
Okay. I guess Pat or Lana or Jerry, did you have any thoughts on that? Because I'm still thinking about that one a little bit myself. I don't disagree with what you're saying. I just wanted to just have some more discussion.
We're talking at the end of the calendar year now. Is that the way it's set up?
I believe that's the way it's set up in this settlement agreement. So December, whenever they would true it up, and those customers that had more than, is it four or more, or is it more than four? Make sure we get that straight.
I think it's four.
Four or more.
Four or more, okay. So, but anyway, maybe your staff's thoughts on that.
Well, I've kind of gone round and round in my head about it, too, because it seemed the point that Commissioner Fetch made, and we talked about this before, too, that I think if you're not going to give one for every four or every three, then you do have that problem if you get one during the year and not for the next one. So waiting to pay till the next year kind of fits the concept of the more than three. And so I think they have to kind of go together and make what she said made sense. So, you know,
okay.
It'd be nicer maybe to be a little different, but I think might be the best under the circumstances.
What is all of your understanding of if this gets approved, then when does this ever get revisited? Does this go until the next rate case? If after a year, I mean, if we look at this 18 months from now, we decided we should have done something different, and they don't file a rate case for three more years, or I mean, how could this be trued up if we don't like the results?
Well, I think that the commission should be thinking about putting some sunsets generally into their decisions. We've had this topic of conversation several times with things that are ordered in a rate case, let's say, and then you track them, and then if they don't come back up, if they're not a big issue in the next rate case, the staff is probably looking at them again, but the commission is probably not looking at them again. You're not thinking about it because the rate case is all about something else. And so I think I would advise that the commission just insert something. You had testimony about it should last a certain length of time to give it, you know,
time to run.
But you certainly could say that it should be addressed in the next rate case, or X amount of time, you know, whichever is sooner, something like that.
Okay.
Pat may have some better thoughts on that.
Because I agree with Commissioner Fetch, I guess, that I'm comfortable with this settlement agreement, with the exception of some type of collar on it that it doesn't run in perpetuity forever. And that's the only thing, if there's a way that's already in there, or if there's a way that... Pat's pointing to something here.
Looking for it. I guess there is something in here, evidently.
The commission and the advocacy staff reserve the right to withdraw if we modify any element of the settlement. What are you looking for, Pat?
I'm looking for something that says it's a three-year plan.
Okay.
Really?
If that's in there, then I'm happy.
Is that in the settlement? I'm going to just ask NSP, or in the app. It's in the app. That's what I was thinking. So nothing has changed with that from staff's point of view.
Okay. Well, if there's a three-year window on this thing, I'm completely happy with approving the settlement agreement as is.
Page 14 of the application.
Okay. I trust you.
I trust Dave.
Okay.
All right. Well, did you have another thought, Alana?
Well, I have two slightly different thoughts when you're ready. One, Commissioner Kramer did send an email that if he doesn't make the work session, he's in favor of the settlement. And the second one is the question of a notice. Do we need to notice the settlement? Which initially, and I know we conversed, a couple of us, I didn't really think we needed to because it was so aligned with the only thing that this hearing was about. The only problem that has reared itself as far as whether a notice might be needed in this, you're safe with a notice, let's put it that way, is this question of who's a party and who's got standing, which is pending from the CapEx appeal. The question of, is there somebody else out there with some standing to appeal, therefore to object to the settlement, is kind of an open question and maybe more open than we thought it was a month ago.
Commissioner, what about if we put this on the November 9th agenda and it would be noticed and we could consider and take action at that time?
I'm fine with that. I would even offer to
issue a notice. You mean like a publish it in the paper notice? Is that what you're thinking?
I don't know. Is that what you're saying
that's,
we need?
Well, that's what we need. There's some cases we do need it in. We have a Supreme Court case.
I would
case
say if we did a special meeting to notice
statute.
It.
Well, we prepared and then, one in
and
case
then,
you wanted that sooner.
I have a question. I know I'm not a lawyer and I should shut up.
Okay, with that, Jerry.
That preface, Jerry.
Was there ever a notice issued in this case that this matter is pending before the commission? And
yes.
And so it's been noticed to the public, and all those that wanted interest in the case should have come forward at that time. I mean, it's all out there. It's been noticed.
I know. The case that Meyer Shark won was exactly like that. We had a whole hearing and then a settlement. And he had notice, and he didn't agree, and there's a case that says he needed a hearing. And then we changed the law, which said you can do it without a hearing if all interested parties agree. I'm going by memory. And the question is who's an interested party, and we often think of those as the parties that show up at the hearing, but now who's an interested party?
Well, I guess my thought is
open
that all
CapEx.
That is fair discussion, but if we did a special meeting today at 3 o'clock, we could notice it, you could start what you're doing, and we could still have a vote in November.
That's true.
And we still are, I think that sounds reasonable.
And we did, I did put one together that's 99% ready to go. That would be ready by 3 o'clock.
Are you available later this afternoon, Commissioner?
I am.
I hear you're saying too, Jerry, but in this case, we have plenty of time to do what we need to do. There's no reason not to do it other than it takes a little more time, but we still meet the requirements of December 31st. So
it's okay with me.
Okay.
I'll call Commissioner Kramer and see if he can be on the phone or something for the meeting, and if not, I think he'll understand. So
the commissioner Fetch's motion to issue a notice of
opportunity for hearing, which you can look at. This is not quite finished, but close to finished.
How many days are you giving for the notice?
Well, you and I will have to figure it out to publish in Fargo.
Okay, so it won't be on the November 9th meeting?
No, but it could be on November. Hopefully
November
it could be on a November meeting,
like a
or close to it.
Or something, right. And
we could have a special meeting, too.
If there's nothing heard by that time, then we would approve it, and we're done with it. Okay.
Okay, thanks.
Anything else, Commissioner Fetch?
That'll do it. I'll look this over and...
All right, so could you talk with Esther, I guess, and get that noticed for... Is 3 o'clock enough time for you?
Oh, yeah, I think so.
Okay.
It's just about ready.
All right. All right, well, with that, we'll close the work session on case numbers PU10657, PU1155, and PU11557. Thank you.
Thank you. Sorry I was late.
Okay.
called up.
You could just go in there. I'll go close it.
Just go in my office.
Yeah, I'll fix it. Grab it on top of this coffee.
There you go.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
There are too many constraints that might have been more aggressive.
Good.
It's not. I don't know. I can't buckle to Tim Herter.
Jerry, I was coming in here with all the reasons why we don't even notice in this case. Until it occurred to me that the CapEx appeal, which has just been filed, has the question of who's a party square in front of it.
Broadcasting. Okay. I think I'll take this aside and look this over. Thank you.